Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Audrey, somehow it magically became like the middle of December. And I don't know where the time has gone. I've been talking about this lately, how time has been flying by quickly. And I realized something. CIO of the year is closer than we would ever know.
Right.
Like March.
Right. What year is this that we've been doing that?
This will be like our 16th year doing, 17th year doing CIO of the year possibly. But it's coming up March 21st, 2019. And that seems like it's so far away, but it's not. I'm just saying right now.
I know.
I'm preparing
for
it. Because the nominations are still open. Just reminding our listeners, you know.
It's actually like a fun night. It's the night.
It is.
A fun night for the nerds. It's like 800 people
exactly.
That don't want to leave.
They don't.
They don't want to leave. Every year we're like, really?
We got to kick them out. We have to kick them out. Every single
time. Chief information officers, chief information security officers, and their fans.
And their fans. They have quite the fans, too.
They do.
It's a party. And
they do.
Just if you go to pghtech.org, we got a nice box up there to say, hey, it is time to nominate. Nominating is not that big of a deal. And we'd like to get as many men and women in the running as we possibly can, because some of the great people always pop up every year. Folks we've never seen, ever heard before. We get to honor the great work they're doing around their IT and security operations here in the Pittsburgh area. So just thinking about that, like, you know, at time's cruising by, and if you do not nominate, you're not going to be part of the party, and people want to be there. So I'm just saying. But we have a really cool show in front of us tonight. You know, the startup Allegheny's is stopping by later tonight. They're bringing in a crew of people, which I think is going to be very, very exciting. You know,
we have a deep love for Johnstown.
We do.
We've sort of woken up to the love of Johnstown, the love of its beauty, and it's got a sad, powerful history. And we worked with them. It's been like almost 3 years now.
3 years now.
Helping them with their vision
right. And
creating pathways to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And we're pretty excited to see some Pittsburgh-based companies opening up shop there.
Exactly.
So that's jazzing us.
Last spring, I got to moderate a couple panel discussions at the start of Allegheny's conference. That was at Seven Springs.
I remember that.
And my eyes were open to all these companies.
You only went to Seven Springs for a different reason.
For a different reason? What are you talking about?
Didn't you go, like, just to ride your bike?
Oh, I go there on my bike all the time. But this was, like, official Pittsburgh Technology Council business at this point in time. I had to be official. There was no bicycle clipped to the roof of my car at the time. It was just me and myself and my ability to moderate discussions. But when I was there, I got to meet a lot of these companies that are popping up there. And I was just really excited for the impact that's happening with Startup Allegheny's. And tonight we're going to bring a little bit of that to you, which I think is just a heck of a lot of fun. But the real star of the show today is Sean Luther.
Yeah. Hey, Sean.
Sean.
He's waving.
He's waving.
You can't see that. He just did some
remember how radio works.
Yeah, exactly.
He did
right,
a double hand wave. Yeah.
I'm actually remembering the last time I was in Johnstown, which was to tube the Connemara River.
Oh.
Yeah.
How was that? Is it beautiful?
Yeah, it's really cool. And you end right in downtown Johnstown.
Wow.
So you go through this really cool natural scape, and then all of a sudden you're
it's concrete.
Oh,
concrete
that's cool.
Tube and shoots you right into downtown.
Oh, I didn't know you can make it through that part of the river without, like, disintegrating.
We probably weren't supposed to.
But you just did. I gotcha. So, Sean, we've been meaning to get you on the show for a very long time because you're doing some really cool work in Pittsburgh, and we're really excited about the work that you're doing.
I appreciate it. I'm excited as well. We've been... I've been working on this for a little over a year.
Right.
So,
and you lead up Innovate Pittsburgh.
Correct.
Or do I call it Innovate PGH?
So I don't correct anyone.
Okay.
Technically, we say Innovate PGH.
Cool.
But that means Pittsburgh.
See, I have the same thing. So we have our TEQ magazine. People call it Tech. But I don't correct because actually when we built it, the idea was that play off of you could say Tech, but we actually call it TEQ.
Right.
So I'm going to call it Innovate PGH.
And I'm going to call it TEQ, because I think previously I've called it Tech.
Yeah, and no harm, no foul. So we're all going to get along swimmingly
yes,
here.
All our abbreviations work.
Exactly right, exactly right.
So should we dive in?
We should dive in, because he's coming back after the break as well, too, and we've got a few minutes here before we actually go to break. So I think
just give us, like, the pitch. Innovate PGH.
The elevator pitch real fast.
The website.
So,
and then we'll come back.
Okay. So the basis here, the standard pitch is we're about a year since the Brookings Institution report was published.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting report because it says a couple really critical things. One, obviously, Pittsburgh's innovation economy is doing very well. We've diversified from an economic perspective, eds and meds instead of heavy manufacturing. But the really critical part is when you look at the academic powerhouses that we have in Oakland in particular, Pitt, CMU, and UPMC.
Now, isn't Oakland almost like a city unto itself? Like, it's got like the third biggest economy in Pennsylvania or
something
weird like
that? I've never independently confirmed this, okay. But my Oakland friends still have that status.
Okay.
The third largest commercial center in the Commonwealth after downtown Philly, or Center City Philly, downtown
right.
Pittsburgh, and then Oakland's
and then,
right
then
there.
Oakland proper. Yeah. So Oakland is an entity unto itself.
And there are 40,000 college students there. But the critical piece is $1.2 billion worth of R&D happening there every single year. So between Pitt, CMU, and UPMC, it is an innovation powerhouse. But what Brookings found is if you look at the strengths at Pitt and CMU in particular, and then you look at the job growth in Pittsburgh, they don't actually line up.
Huh.
And so given CMU's expertise in autonomous systems and computer science and Pitt's national leadership in life sciences and advanced manufacturing, we should be seeing more new company starts. We should be seeing more employment in our key innovation sectors. And in a very short order, we should start to see our demographics start to move. And those needles aren't swinging the way we anticipated when we really dug into the numbers.
Gotcha. So this study was a wake-up call.
It was. And Innovate PGH is the response to that wake-up call.
So who created Innovate PGH? And a group of different organizations and entities came together to say, hey, we need to solve this problem through Innovate PGH.
Yeah, it's very classic Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So it's a public-private partnership essentially driven by Chancellor Gallagher and Farnam Jahanian, the president of CMU.
Yeah.
So for a very long time, our academic institutions have been on the perimeter of economic development. And the report and Innovate PGH as an implementation engine are a way to really tightly cook Pitt and CMU into our economic development fabric. But we also recognize that there's a lot happening in this space already. And so our elected leadership and the mayor and the county executive, our business leadership with the Allegheny Conference, and then the three of the largest foundations locally are directly involved as well.
Wow. That's truly Pittsburgh style right there.
Exactly.
As far as that goes. Yeah, absolutely. So we're taking a break in a couple of minutes. Before we go to break, what's your background and what got you interested in leading up this gig? This sounds like a pretty big task.
Yeah, so we're going to dive into some of the other recommendations from the Brookings Report after the break. But I got involved because of the placemaking aspect.
Gotcha.
What makes up an innovation district? So my background is in urban place management, downtown development. I worked for the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership for a number of years, ran the equivalent organization in Roanoke, Virginia for a number of years. Been back in Pittsburgh working on economic development since 2012.
Are you a Pittsburgh native or?
I am. I grew up in the South Hills.
Oh, uh-huh. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So I call myself a yo-yo instead of
I have heard you say that. That's right. I have heard you say
so
that.
So I've left a couple times, but I've only gone south and I always get yanked back
north. So, hey, I like that. Up and down, up and down. Yeah. That's fantastic.
That's funny.
Well, I'm excited to learn more about what you guys are up to.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, because I think obviously this report, when it came out, some pretty interesting stuff, and you're trying to solve some pretty tough problems. So when we get back, we're going to talk with more of Sean Luther here from Innovate PGH, as far as that goes. And this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And Audrey, we are heading on to 36 years that the PTC has been around helping tech companies succeed, whether it's business development, whether it's visibility, public policy, or finding the right talent. In 2019, make us part of your business building plans, because we can definitely help you move the needle forward as far as that goes. So anyhow, after this break, we're coming back with more Sean Luther from Innovate PGH. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. That's a lot of PGHs. Whew, man, I'm out of breath. I couldn't be happier. You're spending your time here listening to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And Audrey, we promised we came back with Sean Luther from Innovate PGH.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for staying with us.
Still
and as we're talking to Sean, I want everyone to, if you're near your computer, you should go to Innovate PGH. And you can see a little bit about what they're doing and what they're up to. It's a nice website.
Great drone footage going on there.
Yes, the best that money can buy off
stock
photography website.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
And you can also visit the Pittsburgh Innovation District website, which is pittsburgh.id.
Okay.
We really start to shift our brand presence a little bit away from Innovate PGH, which is the organizational element, the partnership,
right,
the civic and business leaders. The Pittsburgh Innovation District is how we talk about Pittsburgh's innovation assets outside of the region.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
And so people who listen to our show are from outside the region. They're also local. They care about what's happening around Pittsburgh. So break it down simply so that we can all understand exactly what, not just your vision, which is great, but also what success would look like.
Yeah. So one of the most critical elements that we're pushing forward in 2019 is this idea of a joint tech attraction strategy. Obviously, we're coming out of the HQ2 announcement in D.C. and Northern Virginia. And what I think a lot of people have failed to recognize is behind the scenes, our traditional economic development organizations are now partnered with our academic institutions and leadership at Pitt, CMU, and UPMC to really sell Pittsburgh from an innovation landing perspective to Fortune 1000 companies around the globe. They don't just have to be in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And so the Innovation District becomes a centralizing factor to that, to unite the folks that are already selling the region on one platform to make sure that we're all going after the same companies. They're only getting hit by one organization at a time. We have a really concise pitch. And that we're also focused on retaining and growing the innovation companies that are already here, both homegrown companies like Duolingo, and then the big national wins that we've gotten over the last decade, the new Facebook announcement, the Google office. We have to work to make sure that smaller national companies operating in the region have the same growth path. And so that's where a lot of our early wins ideally are going to come in 2019 is going to be on this retention and attraction focus.
So what does that mean if people are listening right now and they have startups, for example, that, you know, they haven't even hit maybe $1 million of revenue? What does that look like?
So
in
that's
terms
what,
of help?
What's been really interesting in our work is we've been engaged with the companies and the organizations like yourselves that are already in the landscape and have been doing this for a really long time. And so I think there was a misperception coming out of the Brookings report of, great, let's start another organization to go and do the exact
point.
Same thing.
Interesting, right, right.
And the truth of the matter is a lot of the spectrum for startup companies is very well in place locally. Mm-hmm. You think about organizations like InnovationWorks and their accelerators at Alpha Lab and Alpha Lab Gear. Those are areas where Pittsburgh has shown leadership well before a lot of our peer cities. And so we don't want to create additional nonprofit bureaucracy and say we have to go be in the same space as the life science greenhouse.
Exactly. Right. No, absolutely. That makes total sense.
What we have identified, though, is companies that do not have any affiliation with a university or one of those accelerator programs, there is still an opportunity to figure out how to be an advocate for them, kind of that 0-1 stage startup, and connect them with the resources that already exists. And then also on the other end of the spectrum, you look at companies that are getting into a growth stage that aren't necessarily Allegheny Conference members because they don't see themselves that way.
Exactly, right. There's a whole slice of companies that just don't fit into that mold.
Many of them are Tech Council members. Many of them aren't. And so we also have the ability to kind of centralize those resources and be an engagement platform and an advocate for those types of companies as well.
Interesting.
Okay, so what does that mean? So, for example, if people are listening, what does that mean? If they are...
So as an example, the URA has a really strong microloan program.
Right.
$5,000, pretty easy to get. And it's a really great addition to the economic development landscape. But if you are just a startup in a garage on the south side, you're not necessarily aware of that resource, nor do you know how to start to get it.
Exactly.
And so what we're doing is positioning ourselves as a centralizing resource. So we're not going to create $5,000
microloans. They can come to you to put them in the right channels for what they're looking for.
We connect them with Jennifer at the URA, and we can fast track that application and make sure that these really exciting startups can see success by getting off the ground.
So how are you getting the name out there? How do people know that this is a resource for me? I go to Innovate PGH because they can help me navigate different channels.
So we're actually trying to just get out onto the street and find entrepreneurs where they are.
Gotcha.
And hang out at both the social events and the educational events that are happening, but also hang out in spots in Oakland where students are working on these projects and be in the co-working spaces on the north side in East Liberty and downtown where mm-hmm. people are really starting to put their ideas on paper.
Excellent. And what about, like, sometimes there's a whole group of people just outside of the incubators and universities. I mean, we have a gentleman, Vinziel Wolf, stopping by from Startup Allegheny. He's just a guy starting a transportation mm-hmm. company. And how do you reach those types of folks that are doing some of these other more like lifestyle type companies, which are really an important part of our economy?
And a lot of times we end up connected with those types of folks through mm-hmm. referrals. And so this really gets to Innovate PGH's role as a nexus of all the great work that's already happening.
Very cool.
And so if you get someone like a life science greenhouse, they're going to end up meeting really great folks in the advanced manufacturing sector. And then they pass that connection to us, and so that we make sure that they get to Catalyst Connection.
Very cool.
And so we're essentially kind of a clearinghouse and an advocate role, rather than developing new specialized programming all
on
our own. Of
course, right, because we have so much of that in Pittsburgh that all unify that together, create a focal point for it. No, we've known that forever. I mean, if you think about the Tech Council, literally started in 1983, you know, ahead of its time, and so many great resources have popped up around us, and we really have all these things, and the more we can work together and know that we're all on the same page doing various things, we become such a stronger region.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see there's this kind of like unifying force.
Well, and I think also eventually that will be codified.
Okay.
So you look at cities like Kansas City, which has a really great front door portal.
Right.
So if you have an idea to start a company in Kansas City.
I know. And same with Dallas.
You get zipped into that system really easily.
Right.
And so that kind of gets for a long-term outlook for us. In the short term, though, we don't want to just sit around and develop that portal. We want to make sure that we can find entrepreneurs on day one.
Exactly.
While we're also building
it. Oh, of course.
Those,
yeah, you got to be building it while you're building it, if you know what I mean. So what, about a year or so into the job, I mean, what's your take on this? I mean, obviously, it's got to be like super exciting. We've got a couple minutes left. Like, what's, I guess, the big takeaway from having gone this far, and what are you thinking about for 2019?
Yeah, so I think the biggest takeaway for listeners in the region and outside the region is that the potential in Pittsburgh and the innovation economy is very real.
Definitely.
The story of Pittsburgh is not a marketing washover. When you look at the academic strength that we have, it will position Pittsburgh as a global innovation leader in the 21st century. We are part of a very small cohort of cities that have innovation assets, strong economic development platforms, super high quality of life, super low cost of living, and the major academic resources that are going to anchor companies in cities like Pittsburgh in the next century.
Very cool.
And so we're excited to be the champion for that, and really uniting the folks that are already doing good work in the space, because we definitely can't do it on our own. And I think that's the most Pittsburgh message of all.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Minute left, 2019. What's the big hubbub? What are you thinking about?
So, you know, there's really wonky stuff that we're working on, cluster development strategies, marketing, workforce development programs. But we are really going to hit the ground with this tech attraction piece, and you're not going to know it until we've got big splashy announcements.
Love it.
But we're going to be in the trenches.
I want big splashy announcements in 2019.
Not as much as I do, but we expect to see some very fast traction.
Absolutely. Sean Luther, Innovate PGH. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. Yeah.
Hey, we're taking a break. There is more Tech Vibe Radio coming your way, I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org and then fly on over to Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you joined us here for Tech Vibe Radio every single Friday night, bringing you all the cool stuff happening in Pittsburgh's technology sector. And energy is one of the big things we love covering here on Tech Vibe Radio. And actually, I'm really excited because we're breaking in the new Tech Vibe Radio podcast studio at our new HQ in Nova Place. Love being here. Love having our own dedicated space, because a lot of times we got to grab interviews when we got to grab interviews. We can't mess around. We can't be like, well, you can come into the studio on this date when we're actually on air. We got to sometimes do it outside the normal hours, which is why we have this new podcast studio. And we are breaking it in with two really cool guys. I'm really excited to talk to you about what's going on with energy, and especially around the idea of things that are going on around the conservative platform with energy. And, of course, we have no stranger to Tech Vibe Radio. We have Chad Forsey here. He is with the Pennsylvania Conservative Energy Forum. And we have Tex Fisher here. First time on Tech Vibe Radio.
Yes, sir.
And you've driven all the way from Youngstown.
Youngstown, a whole hour.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming in. No, Youngstown's like a cool neighbor of Pittsburgh.
It is.
We like having you guys around. Like, we need to be doing more with Youngstown, as far as I'm concerned.
I'd like to see that.
Absolutely. So, Chad,
let's start with you real quickly, just so our listeners can remember, who is Chad Forsey? What's up at PennSEF these days?
Yeah. So I am the executive director of the Pennsylvania Conservative Energy Forum, and I'm a guy who's been active in politics in Pennsylvania for about 20 years now, working for Governors Ridge and Schweiker, and being in the private sector for the bulk of the time until now, working in the conservation world on issues including irrigation, agriculture, landscape contracting, clean water, clean air, and the nexus between industry and the folks who regulate. So as of May of 2018, I came on as executive director of the Pennsylvania Conservative Energy Forum, which is an organization that is dedicated to promoting clean and renewable energy with conservatives here in Pennsylvania.
And that's the part I love, is that you're bringing in that. People don't think about it being a conservative thing to do, which
right.
is why I'm really excited to talk to Tex here about what he's doing. So what's your angle on this?
So the American Conservation Coalition, on the campus side, we advocate for a lot of the same things that Chad and PennSEF advocate for. So a free market approach to energy and conservation geared at people on the right side of the spectrum, conservatives and libertarians on campus. So we're a millennial-led, you know, student-focused organization that we bring a lot of attention to these issues from a conservative perspective, which
right.
is something not a lot of students have heard before.
I know. I mean, and that's why I think it's so important that we're telling this story here tonight, because people aren't thinking about this as far as that goes. So what are conservative students asking about? What are they thinking about when it comes to clean and renewable energy?
A big question we get is about subsidies. So as we all know, the energy sector in this country is very heavily subsidized, whether it be on the renewable side or the, you know, the fossil fuel side.
Okay.
So something that conservatives have long, I think, had issues with is the amount of subsidies that more, you know, clean and renewable energy sources get. And that's not something that you can really support from a free market perspective,
exactly.
which is where a lot of our activists and students are coming from. But what they don't realize is there are a lot of subsidies for the more traditional forms of energy, too, and that really skews the market. And once you can demonstrate that there are subsidies on both sides and it's skewing the market away from the consumer and away from innovation, then I think you get a lot of conservatives on board with clean energy.
Makes total sense. And so, Chad, we've had conversations before. What I love about your organization is the fact that you're creating conversations across both aisles, which I think is just absolutely necessary. And this is the perfect place to be having these conversations, is at the universities.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity for our organization. You know, we've been really happy to work with Techs to go into universities. We're going to be doing a lot more of that in 2019. And when we go into a university to meet with student groups, we're there to talk about a really substantive policy issue that we know they care about. We know that young people are really, really interested in conservation. They're interested in free markets and entrepreneurship and innovation. They're interested in clean, renewable energy. They're interested in, you know, what can we do to impact our communities at the local level. And these are all issues that we talk about when we talk about the clean, renewable energy revolution. So, yeah, I mean, and honestly, this is great because we know that the other side of the aisle has talked about these issues, and they've done a really good job.
They own it. People just assume that they own this issue,
right.
and they don't have to, because it's
right.
Both sides need to, because it's important to the whole country and the world.
That's right. I mean, they are well-schooled on the left, and what we are doing is we are bringing this issue to the right to say, look, there is plenty of room for conservatives to take ownership here and get involved. There's plenty of room to get excited about an all-of-the-above energy economy that's diversified and that uses the free market principles that we love. So this is, from our point of view, yes, it does. It gives us a chance to get active, to create more space for conservatives, and to work across the aisle with folks who also care about these issues.
Very, very cool. Just to remind our listeners, we are talking to Chad Forsey from the Pennsylvania Conservative Energy Forum. Go to PennSEF, PennSEF.org. And we're talking to Tex Fisher here from the American Conservative Coalition at ACCC.ECO. I didn't mess it up.
No, you got it.
I got that third C. That's
yeah.
a tough one, too. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. So I'm assuming, I mean, when you're bringing these conversations up on campuses, you're probably surprising a lot of students.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a lot of preconceptions. What are you seeing out there when you're on the scene there, Tex?
Well, I think I think the biggest problem that we face is a lot of students have never heard a conservative perspective on clean energy and the environment. So they're sort of coming in without any like prior knowledge of what conservative ideas are on these issues. But I mean, we've been incredibly well received. A lot of conservative students say, like, I've never heard a conservative talk about this. I thought I was the only conservative who cared about this.
Interesting.
And
very
sort
interesting.
Of bring a lot of people together who have cared but haven't really had a place for them to express those ideas and to learn more about these issues. And from folks on the left, we've been surprisingly well received from more left-leaning students because, I mean, they're very genuine in caring about these issues.
Is it a tense conversation at first?
Not really. No.
Okay, good.
I mean, they're very open-minded.
Because it's about talking about it. It's right. Not having the side and defending it to the death, but it's about learning and coming together and, right. And seeing where each side is standing, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people on the left are just really happy that there's a conservative organization out there trying to engage people because, like, I think that they realize the reason we haven't had as much action as they might like is because it's such a one-sided partisan issue. So, like,
definitely.
we're never going to get to where they want to be unless there's some input from folks on the right.
So, Dex, what got you interested in doing this kind of work, going out there and hitting the campuses and really really as grassroots as you can get at this point? Mm-hmm. What made you want to do that?
Well, I started working in politics right out of high school, actually. I managed a couple of local campaigns, then worked for another conservative organization doing campus activism. And right along the time I was transitioning out of that to work more into like more on the political side of things with the state Republican Party. ACC was looking for, you know, someone to lead the campus program. That's the background I had. It's something I'm really passionate about. I've always been very passionate about energy issues. Come from part of Northeast Ohio that has a lot of a rich manufacturing history and a lot of potential developments in the energy sector that can really help bring us out of sort of the 30, 40, 50 year economic funk we've been in. So those are issues I've always been passionate about. It just seemed like a great fit to try and get involved with.
It's fantastic work to be doing that. I'm glad you're hanging out with him.
Yeah, it's been a great partnership.
Definitely.
And, you know, we've actually gone out to the University of Pittsburgh in recent weeks, and we have met with student groups there and honestly have had a fantastic reception from students who I believe, and I want to get Texas thoughts on this too, but I believe that the millennial students that I've met with are far more interested in the significant policy debates of our time than they are in petty partisan politics. Mm-hmm. And so when we go and we talk to these students, we find there's a great hunger for significant policy contributions that we can make and that we can help them understand and get involved in. And that transcends some of the partisan divides of our time and doesn't get into the stone throwing that really defines so much
less
about politics.
Stone throwing, please. Exactly. Yeah. More conversations and understanding.
That's right.
Absolutely. So what's the schedule looking like for 2019? What can we expect? I mean, obviously, you get a lot of campuses to hit.
Yeah.
And do you have a squad of people that are going out there? Is it just you, the one man on the scene? Like, how's this going to work?
Well, we have 85 campus reps across 31 states now. We are on pace to be over 100 by the start of the next semester.
That's fantastic.
We're going to be doing a lot here in Pennsylvania with Chad. We're working on a sort of a mini campus tour across Pennsylvania.
Cool.
To bring him in and talk about some of these issues with some of the groups we work with. So it should be really busy, but a lot of work, but it's definitely rewarding.
I love it. I mean, this is how we start affecting some change and get getting these conversations going as far as that is. So maybe just, we've got a couple minutes left. Like, what is a typical engagement like when you head on the campus? Like, what goes on? Like, I mean, how do you begin the conversations? How many people show up? How do you get people to show up? How's that work?
Yeah. I mean, there's organizational work behind the scenes with our friends, with groups like the College Republicans and other conservative-oriented student groups who will help to get an audience together. Texas is really engaged with those folks as well. I mean, just the organizational stuff that goes on behind the scenes, it's really important. That's why it's so critical that we have groups like ACC who are engaged in the space. I think that in terms of making that connection and putting on a good event, I'm curious to hear what Tex says about this. You know, getting back to the attitude of millennials on these issues, they do in fact seem to be really interested in stuff that transcends the partisan divide and gets to the heart of the issues.
That's a great place for us to wrap up on. Tell us about that and we'll wind this thing up.
Well, the way our campus program works is we don't set up our own chapters like a lot of other organizations. So
okay.
We just have a liaison, a campus rep that is usually in leadership of a different conservative organization. And we found that that's a really effective way to get us off the ground really quickly, since we can benefit from the infrastructure of the other groups that exist, and then just sort of push our message through them. But to put on a successful event, I mean, you need a willing host, you need students on the ground willing to, you know, put in the work, text their friends, set up a Facebook event, put up flyers, all that stuff. And then we do as much as we can on the national level. And when we're able to make it in person, you know, we put up flyers to ourselves and grind on.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I love the fact of making such an impact. And I think 2019 is going to be the year where you really kick it forward. Once again, we're talking to Chad Forsey from the Pennsylvania Conservative Energy Forum. Go to pensef.org, and Tex Fisher from the American Conservative Coalition, ACCC.ECO. Simple as that. This is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio from the Tech Vibe Radio podcast studios here in Nova Place. We'll be right back after this quick break with more Tech Vibe Radio.
All right, Audrey. So I've been waiting all night for this segment because I'm going to guarantee our listeners a high energy segment, because there's some great stuff going on. And you know my passion for our neighbors to the east, out in Johnstown, Cambria County. You know, we're doing the Bridge to Pittsburgh stuff, Startup Allegheny stuff. Really great programs going on to build entrepreneurship, not just in the region there, but to also build connections between Pittsburgh and Johnstown, because there's so many great resources going back and forth. And so it was back in November around Veterans Day, I got this really cool press release from Startup Alleghenies about some of the new startups that are happening that were started by our folks in uniform, by veterans. And I'm like, we got to get these folks on the show and talk a little bit about this, because I think they're doing some transformative work. And we got three great guys with us today who are leading up this thing. First off, we have Vinziel Wolf, who's got this really cool company that he's starting up. And he's getting a lot of help from guys like Don Bonk over here and Jose Otero. And Jose, you're from Jari, right?
I am Jari, Johnstown Area Regional Industries, located in Cambria County.
Absolutely. And then Don, what's your role up there in Cambria County and Johnstown?
So I have a split role. In Johnstown, I run the Entrepreneurial Alchemy Program. It's been around about 5 years, funded by both the state and federal government over time. I'm also a consultant for Tim McNulty, the Office of Government Relations at Carnegie Mellon. So I'm literally a dual citizen.
Yeah.
Citizen of Johnstown and Pittsburgh, and places in both.
You have keys to like both cities, I think.
Literally.
Exactly. What is really cool is you've been working with Vinziel here. And I think it's a fantastic story. But so Vinziel, we got to start with you. First, introduce yourself and what you do and how you do it. And then Audrey's got a ton of questions for you.
Okay. Well, my name is Vinziel Wolf, owner and founder of At All Transfer Authority, and then we are providing transportation, black car transportation, and high-end stuff for the public in Johnstown and Cambria County area.
Really?
So do you
have, like, contracts with different companies?
Yeah, well, right now we're contracting with individuals, working with some companies, and we're looking to expand it. So we're just getting started, and everyone's welcoming the idea.
I love it. Before we dive into the conversation, our listeners are going to want to know where they can learn more about you. What's your website? How can people learn about it all?
Well, we have right now, our website is not finished yet, but we're up on all social media sites.
That's what we need then.
At All Transport Authority on Facebook, LinkedIn, and we also have a Twitter coming online pretty soon.
So folks need black car service.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of people need service from Johnstown area, and particularly to get to Pittsburgh.
Ah.
There's not a lot of options to get back and forth to the airport in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And back and forth to business meetings and everything that we have to do in Pittsburgh takes
a hop,
leap, and a jump to get there. So I'm providing a service to get us from A to B.
Wow.
On a continuous basis.
I didn't think about that.
So you see a need in the market.
Yeah.
You're like, I have an idea to address it. And you're like, wait a second. I need resources to help scale this. So there's the Startup Alleghenies comes into place. Jari comes into place. So you had this idea. How did you decide to move forward? And how did you link up with guys like Don and Jose over here?
Well, my first introduction to Jose Otero was the biggest leap in the entire idea, because he got us started from day one with the Small Business Association, got us started with enrolled with Startup Alleghenies program.
Right.
And the first day we met, I believe it, we got we got started cranking out this business plan to get going.
Right.
From the very first moment. And it took us a couple of days a week for a couple months.
Okay.
To get everything in place to get wheels on the ground eventually in a few months' time.
Go ahead.
So you'd highly recommend this, right?
Oh, man.
Man.
There's no better opportunity than what we have right now in Cambria County, because everyone's behind getting the economy going.
Exactly.
So now it's time. So now it's time. Now it's the time in Cambria County, actually.
It really is.
It is.
I totally agree. And you know how many people live in Pittsburgh and are from Johnstown? It's crazy.
There is like a diaspora here.
There really is a diaspora here.
Yeah.
And they have deep love.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of driving, so the next time I need to go...
She's calling you, Vinzio. Yeah. Wants a car to stop
exactly,
by. All polished up and ready to go.
Exactly. I'm here for you, and that's what I want
to
do.
Because I love Johnstown. It's so beautiful there.
Right, and we want to get you back and forth. Not only do we want to get people from Cambria County and Johnstown out to Pittsburgh, but right. we want to get people in Pittsburgh out to see us in Johnstown and get to take advantage of what we have to cool. offer in Johnstown.
So, Jose, what was the first thing you talked to Vinzio about? When he comes to you, he's like, I got this idea for a business. How do I use Jari? How do I use all these other resources that are available in Cambria County to make this business happen?
Sure. Well, two of the things that I asked Vinzio are two of the same things that I ask every individual okay. that I face with when they're looking at me. They're like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I right. own my business. The two questions is, what are you doing and why?
Okay.
The what yeah. really helped yeah. explain filling in that niche in that transportation that is needed.
Okay.
And the why is the passion behind it. Vinzio has
He's
years
got the
of
passion. I absolutely. Can see it. I love it.
He's got years of experience when it comes to being able to move items.
Right.
And being able to transport different goods throughout the country. So why not being able to utilize that skill set? Okay. Now let's move people instead.
Right.
So being able to link up with that and having his prior knowledge was a lot easier for me to be able to develop with him his business plan. But essentially, though, it's the first two questions, what and why.
Gotcha.
And then we just kind of take off from
And
that.
Then at what point do you say, I got to call in Don Bonk?
Yeah, well, okay. So with Don, how Don got involved originally is I told Vinzio about Entrepreneurs Alchemy. This is basically what I told Vinzio. I need for you to go to Entrepreneurs Alchemy. There's a group of people up there
exactly.
that you're really going to like to meet.
So you plug them into
it's
a network.
It's kind of like a support group, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like great. You can talk about all your problems, all the issues.
Therapy
you're
for entrepreneurs. Right?
Yeah. It's yeah. like a good support system. And, mm-hmm. and Donald has been able to.
And Don's
that
the head therapist over there, right, Don?
Yeah. He is.
So tell us about why you founded the alchemy stuff there, Don.
So Entrepreneur Alchemy dates back to Discover and Develop PA under Governor Corbett. We got a grant. We ran it for 2 years, then we funded it next through Office of Economic Adjustment through the Pentagon, running through Cambria County. And essentially what it is, every first Monday of the month at University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, Idea Lab, room 132, we bring entrepreneurs together. We also bring typically a speaker. So we had David Iwinski from Blue Water Growth in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He came
he's
to our last
great.
Meeting.
Great, I love him.
Smart, capable
guy. You know he's
guy.
An accomplished musician.
Yes, accomplished musician. He took music at Duquesne. He's a lawyer out of Pitt Law School,
right.
but he also lived in Asia for years.
I know.
So he was my speaker. We have people
he's awesome.
Hear him talk, and then we had people answer questions, and then we talked about brainstorming for companies. So that's exactly the kind of thing. You know, David drove in from Pittsburgh. So every month we have this.
She's taking a car from Vinzio here. And
exactly.
Yeah, he just found
exactly.
out.
Yeah, exactly.
He just found out.
Vinzio met him, and he may do that the next trip around. So Vinzio came, we had some talks, and then Vinzio on November 3rd, we had an all Ivy League Plus alumni club group from Pittsburgh come to Johnstown. We had about a dozen members.
No way!
Vinzio was the driver. Rich Breen, president of the Princeton Alumni Association and former general counsel at the United Steelworkers of America,
wow.
came in on the train
yeah.
to Johnstown.
That's
and
so great.
Vinzio met him at the train station in Johnstown.
Nice.
And,
wow.
and took him to the Johnstown Flood Museum, took him over to the Metal Arts Center now that's growing in Johnstown,
yeah.
the new group that's
great place.
Doing... custom artisanal hammers and other products
oh,
in Johnstown
right.
at the Metal Arts Center. So we gave him a tour there. Vinzio was on that. And then up to the incline plane, dinner at Asiago's. And then...
Wait, you still have an incline running?
Yes,
oh,
we
yeah.
do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
takes
yeah.
cars
Samuel
out.
Dyscher, one of the original Hungarian engineers that built your inclines here in Pittsburgh, came to Johnstown and did the same. So we have a functional incline that runs several times, actually every 15 minutes during its running period.
The world's steepest vehicular incline.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Just I know, because the mountains are serious
oh, yes.
over there.
The black car service can go up and down on that
I gotta,
thing.
It can actually ride on the incline.
My hat's off to you guys for Johnstown, because I know that when we first talked about this whole Bridges to Pittsburgh and the partnership, I was like, oh my gosh, Johnstown. And I got to tell you, it has been nothing but positive. And you know what it is? It's that you have the grit and the determination and the collaboration against all odds that Pittsburgh has had in pockets 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I can feel it. And you have a diaspora that's located in Pittsburgh.
And they're rooting for you.
And they are rooting for you. And they care. So, I mean, I know that we've tried to help get businesses go to you know, locate in Johnstown. And, you know, we're, it's exciting. It's easy for us to try to help you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's
and
all
it's
about
beautiful.
Working together.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
if anyone has never been to Johnstown, you'll be blown away by the beauty and the mountains that are there. Yeah. That there's no comparison to Pittsburgh, even.
No. Yeah. The views, the outdoor opportunity to use the trails, to ride the river, you know, you name it, we got it.
It's coming together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit, Vinzel. So you, obviously, you're a veteran, correct?
Yes, sir.
First off, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Yes,
without
thank
a doubt.
You.
And so, I'm, what I'm curious is, I feel like going through the military gives you a specific set of skills. I think goes right into the business world. I don't know if it's disciplined, a focus. There's something about that. I feel like I get excited when I see veterans starting companies because I know that like they have this focus. Am I correct in this?
All that. You know what? I've never stopped being a soldier. I left Armed Forces to pursue my education.
Okay,
but I am still a soldier.
Right.
To this day, to this day, every one of you civilians are sir and ma'am, you know, and it's just part of my makeup now.
Definitely.
Military baron, you name it, we have something that, you know, I was described as having esprit de corps, and mm-hmm. that's just the spirit of the group, just wanting to be a part of a group and work together with a larger group and be a part of something bigger than the individual.
Right.
And that's what it's about, you know, and that's what having military bearing is all about.
Very much so. We got just a couple minutes left in this segment. It goes by too fast. Mm-hmm. I could do a whole show on this. Mm-hmm. But
this is really great. I'm blown away.
I just want people to know, like, what. So obviously, there's some great resources in Cambria County and in Johnstown with Jari, with guys like Don, with the Chambers. There's literally lots of folks ready to help. So there's men and women like Vinzel here who have an idea for a company. You can help them scale. What if I'm in Pittsburgh and say I want to come to Johnstown and try to build something? I mean, that should be a viable thing, correct?
When you get to Johnstown, first thing you want to do is get in contact with someone at the chamber,
okay.
Or even Jari,
right.
In the same building, and Jose can tell you all about what they have to offer.
I love that sure. Riff Jari.
Yeah, well, okay, absolutely. If anybody's interested in being able to work in Cambria County or would like to build in Cambria County for sure, we have a large ecosystem in place already with various partners that are involved and engaged, whether it's technology or a dog groomer, or a car wash,
gotcha.
whatever it is that we're looking to do.
Are you saying my dog needs to be groomed?
I like your dog, by the way. Yeah, totally.
Gracie's our co-host today.
We do have a lot of resources. Last thing that I wanted to pitch for sure is Ben Franklin Techcelerator. We have an 8-week boot camp that we run through entrepreneurs, and Vinzel definitely participated through that. And
he probably ran the thing. Yeah, exactly.
You get deep into it. So I encourage everybody to participate in many of the services.
If people want to learn more about Jari to do that, where can they go? Is it Jari?
Sure, yeah, Jari.com.
Jari.com?
That's right.
Just that simple. Guys, thank you so much for stopping by and pumping up Tech Vibe with a ton of energy. Simple as that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Another show under our belt. On. I told you it was our best.
We need to have them back. We have more to talk
about. I want updates. Simple as that. One updates. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Busa.
And we're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, having way too much fun talking to men and women like over here at the Startup Alleghenies and Jari and all the good stuff going on in Cambria County. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Have a great weekend.